Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good morning and welcome to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and we have another fantastic show for you today. We're going to be talking about a very unique travel opportunity for our young players, and I think you guys are going to love hearing from today's guests. They not only have beautiful British accents, but also have a wealth of knowledge on the various aspects of tennis, education, travel, etc., and they're going to bring us some unique and very cool information. Before I bring them on the air today, though, a couple quick things I wanted to remind you about. First of all, I am going to be headed to the Easter Bowl on Sunday. I'll be out there Sunday through Thursday. So if you're going to be out in Palm Springs, Indian Wells, with your junior player, I would sure love to meet up with you and say hello and take a picture and maybe even interview you, because I will be broadcasting live from there next week, not only during our normal Tuesday time slot, but hopefully during additional time slots over the course of the few days that I'll be there as well. And so it's always fun to meet up with Parenting Aces listeners and readers in person and put faces to names. So please look me up. You know I'll be in my Parenting Aces gear, and so look for me and please come say hello. And also, I know for a lot of you guys, it's spring break right now, so I hope that you're taking advantage of having some extra time with your child, and whether it's tennis related or just plain old relaxation mode, you know, really enjoying this time together. I know for me, my son's going to be on spring break next week, but I'll be at the Easter Bowl, and he's going to be partying with his buddies on his senior trip. So we won't be together next week, sadly, but I think we're both going to be having a great time in our respective travels. So there's always that. And one other thing I want to mention is, if you haven't had a chance to see my latest article on ParentingAces.com about UTR, Universal Tennis Rating, I hope you'll take a look. If your child is playing high school tennis right now, and you're involved with the team, please, please, please consider being a liaison for UTR and reporting the team results so that UTR can get these high school players in its system. I will tell you, my son's playing for his high school right now as the number one singles player. He's having some great match opportunities against some really talented kids, not only kids that are involved in tournament tennis, but some other kids who are actually quite good players who don't play tournaments. And so UTR is striving to get those types of players into its system to have a more comprehensive listing of players and comparisons of players. So if you are interested or so inclined as to provide that data, you can find the information on ParentingAces.com in our latest article. There's a link to contact. So I'm hoping you all take advantage of that. Okay, so before I bring on today's guest, I want to go to a quick commercial. But when we come back, we're going to be discussing a very unique travel opportunity for our young players.
Orthopedic surgeons are seeing an increase in overuse injuries when young athletes perform the same repetitive stressful motions over and over. Pitching, tennis, weight training, even long swimming workouts can cause overuse trauma that may require surgery. If your kids play and train hard, visit orthoinfo.org or stopsportsinjuries.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine.
Welcome back to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's You Are Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and I'm so happy to have with us today Daniel and Richard Bragg. They are brothers. Daniel lives here in Georgia. Richard lives in the UK, and the two of them are working together to take a group of junior players over to the UK this summer for an educational opportunity, but also a very cool tennis opportunity. So without further ado, let me bring these two guys on the air with us. Daniel and Richard, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Lisa.
So you guys are working together to provide a very cool travel opportunity for some of the young players that Daniel trains here in the U.S. And so maybe to start, Daniel, do you want to just give us a little bit of background on yourself as a player and a coach? And then maybe I'll let Richard do the same, and then we can talk about what you guys have planned.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. Good morning. I appreciate you having us on. Also, I love your site. I've been on it many times. It's great. There's a lot of good articles in there.
Thank you.
Basically, my background is I was a national player in England and then came over to the States to play college tennis and was an All-American doubles player. And the last 17 years, I've been living in St. Mary's, Georgia. I'm an elementary PE teacher, and for 15 of those years, I was an assistant high school coach. I run my own academy in the evenings. I still volunteer with the high school team, and I'm also a professional tennis registry clinician for the 11 through 17. The main focus has always been to develop tennis in a rural area and try to give opportunities to kids that otherwise would not have the opportunity to play tennis. And my brother and I, about 3 years ago, I would go over there in the summers and help him with the PE portion of his school. We just started thinking about, well, wouldn't it be cool if we could bring kids over to the UK and have a cultural experience as well as a tennis experience? And so, you know, this year we kind of decided this is what we're going to try to do.
Fantastic.
So this is kind of like that.
That's fantastic.
Sorry, go ahead, Lisa.
So, Richard, tell us a little bit about Key College and how you got started with that and what you're hoping to accomplish this summer with Daniel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, hi again. Hi, Lisa. Thank you very much for having us. Key College. Basically, Key College is something that I started off in 1999. I come from a tennis background, but actually, it's actually a language school in essence. And until recently, and we still are, we're a very successful language school that runs out of one of the top independent schools in the UK called Oakham School. And as Danny said, he's been over the last sort of 3-4 years to help out. And we just thought that it would be an amazing opportunity to get some synergy going between us because we have the educational skills and we have the background and we have an amazing venue and a school which is already very successful and has lots of very positive experiences and very, very... how can I put this? Basically, what we do is we run a summer school for people learning English from mainly France and Italy. And they board, and they have a very sort of balanced program. And we're very lucky because the experiences have been really positive and people come back year on year. And we just thought that it'd be a fantastic opportunity to add tennis to the mix. And Danny and I sat down and we thought that it would be amazing to have some young Americans across who'd be able to mix with our foreign students, and also the opportunity for them to meet local players in our community and our area too. And that's really the idea behind it, to provide an opportunity, a tennis opportunity, but also a cultural opportunity within an English private school setting, which would be something, I guess, that your listeners are probably not used to seeing or having, I would imagine.
Right. Well, and, you know, for my listeners that have been around a while, you guys know that my son did a month at an academy in Spain a couple summers ago, but it was strictly tennis. There wasn't the educational component to it. And so what you guys are offering this summer really is a combination, educational, cultural, and tennis opportunity. Is that correct?
Yes, Lisa.
Yeah, that's correct.
So will the kids actually get...
Do you want to take the tennis element, Danny? Do you want to speak first about the tennis in the morning, and I'll speak about
afternoon? Yeah, sure, I can do that. Sorry,
okay.
Go ahead, Lisa. I think you had a question.
Well, I was going to say, will the kids be receiving any type of academic credit for attending the program, or is it simply an enrichment-type program?
It's at this point, it's just an enrichment program. Basically, what we were looking at is the kids would have a minimum of 3 hours of tennis in the morning, and it would be myself coaching, and we're trying to get another coach from the States to come with us. His name's Dan Bronk. He was actually the high school coach of the year for the USTA in 2007. And he won the Starfish Award. And we've been working together for 16 years. And also at Richard's End, there's a highly qualified tennis coach called Tim Ayling, and he's been at the school for 25 plus years. So we were going to really interested in getting the kids to play matches against each other. We'll spend a lot of time on technical stuff, and then in the afternoons, they would be on excursions to different cultural activities. I just thought, as a high school coach myself, I look at as an educator, I was interested in having tennis, but everything, because really tennis, like you said before, is a lifetime sport, but it teaches them, you know, friendships, it teaches them teamwork, it teaches them how to give back to the community. So I'm trying to use this program more as like a vehicle for life to become a better human being.
I love that. I love that. And so for this year, what age group are you looking to take over with you?
We're looking for kids between the ages of 12 and 18.
Okay. And the trip is?
I'm sorry?
What are the dates of the trip?
The trips are from July 13th through the 23rd. Obviously, we'd have to get there the day before, and we'd probably leave the 23rd in the afternoon sometime. So it's roughly around 2 weeks.
And any idea how many kids do you think will be attending this year?
Right now, at Richard's End, he's already advertised and had several students sign up for the program. So there will be kids that the American kids would be practicing against. However, at this end right now, I have 3 or 4 kids that are interested, but only one that's actually confirmed at this point. But this first year we don't like to take between 6 and 8 kids and keep it kind of small, and then expand it as the years go on.
So at this point, are you open to having kids come with you that are not part of your current school?
Yes.
Or? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. We'd love kids from anywhere to come. I mean, we've I offered it to the students in my community, and it's quite funny. I actually have several that are committing for next year, because obviously these types of trips cost money, and so we have parents that are, you know, they're already saying that they've committed to coming, and they're like saving up for it. We would like to get kids from all over the U.S. if possible.
That's so cool.
And on the U.K. side of things, would you like me to add something there?
Yeah, sure, Rich.
Yeah. Basically, where we live is Oakham, and Oakham's a small market town. And the opportunities for excellent tennis coaching do exist, but to have a coming together of coaches such as Daniel Braig, my brother, Coach Vonk, and Tim Ayling really represents a big opportunity, not only for the American students coming across, but also for our English players too. This year we're looking to open it to 6 U.S. students, and we're also going to have approximately 10 to 12 English students. And as Danny said, we'd like to keep it small, because what we want to do this year is, although we know that we have the expertise and excellent coaching on board, because it's our first year, we really want to hone what we do and really focus it and understand exactly what the program requires. And I think that at the same time, by having 3 coaches and a maximum of about 18 students, I think those students are very, very lucky to have that wealth of experience available to them.
It sounds fantastic. The dates of your trip for this year, you're going to miss Wimbledon for this year, but I know you had talked about possibly taking the kids to see the Wimbledon facilities and maybe a tour of the facility. I don't know what you have in mind there,
yeah,
but maybe you can expand on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you said that, because I got the idea 4 years ago when I went to Europe. I actually went to Roland Garros, and I did a tour of Roland Garros, and then I also did a tour of Wimbledon. And the cool thing about doing the tours is, you know, even though the event is not on, you get to go onto center court, you get to go through the tunnels, they take you through the museum, they get to tour the ground. You have a tour guide that's, you know, it's around a 2-hour tour, but it explains everything to the kids. And I should say parents also, because we do encourage the parents to come along with the kids. So they would get that opportunity. And also being in London, there's, you know, after the tour, there is other things to do. I mean, we were looking at taking the kids to a Broadway show. We're looking to take them down to the West End. And, you know, there are other things in London that we'd like to take the kids to see. And that was the whole thing of making the balancing act between tennis and educational experience.
I have to say, all 3 of my kids, luckily, have had the opportunity to travel internationally. And, you know, most of the time it's been a combination of educational and cultural experiences. And the value of that, I mean, it's just incredible. And, you know, one of my husband's and my philosophies has always been that, you know, the world's only continuing to get smaller. And so the more our young teenagers, our young adults can understand different cultures and see the reality that kids are kids, regardless of where they grow up, that it prepares them for life in the world. And it's an incredible gift to give our kids, you know, if we're in a situation where we can do that. So I love that you guys are organizing something that provides this opportunity for these kids to go and kind of push outside their comfort zone a little bit. you know, going to England, at least they won't have the language barrier. Although I spent a semester in England in college, and I have to say that I struggled understanding. I was in Worcester, and the accents were very heavy. So I had to learn a whole new language, even as a native English speaker. So, but I just think this is such a gift. And maybe, Daniel, if you could talk a little bit more about the specifics of the tennis training that these kids will get. Will they be playing tournaments? Will they be doing drills? Will they have an opportunity to play on the grass courts, maybe? And what do you have in mind for them at this point?
As far as the tennis, what I had planned is that each day would be a different focus, and we would go over technical, tactical, you know, specific footwork patterns. I was even looking at having classroom opportunities to understand the kinetics of tennis, shot selection, how to deal with pressure. So it would be, we'd have goal session. Goal sections where they would learn how to write goals along short-term goals. They would play matches against kids. And basically we would adapt it to the level of the child that comes, because I think that's also very important as a coach, is that you adapt your program based on what the student's goals and needs are. So it would be from the highest level to the lowest level. I mean, whatever the kid's level is what we would adapt it to. And I have an extensive amount of experience with that. I trained a kid that won a national championship, and then I've also trained kids that all they want to do is play on the high school team, and so, or even just be part of a team. So the tennis part would be based on the student's needs.
Gotcha. And, you know, I've written a lot and talked quite a lot on the show about Tennis Europe and the junior competitive structure there, and how different it is than what we have available to us here in the States. Will the kids have an opportunity to play a tournament, do you think, or it's too short a time?
Not this year, they wouldn't. But that is something we were looking at long term, was that they would be able to come over and then train and then play a tournament. Whereas we're looking at more of, they would come and they would play kids at local matches against kids. Like, how they do I don't know if you've played in Europe, but they have more like club tennis.
Right.
So you're playing matches against clubs. Whereas here in the U.S., it's always a lot more more formal in this. I don't know if the word formal is right, but more that you play tournaments or you're on a league. Whereas there, it's like more one club plays against another club.
Yeah. So I mean, this year I'm actually looking into the possibility of, obviously, once we have our numbers firm and we know who's coming, I'm going to look into getting students and players from local clubs, if at all possible, to play against our American students, because I think that would be a good thing. Because not only are you getting the tennis, but I think the students would also see what an English club is like, and it gives you also an insight into how tennis is played in the UK. Because I understand that in the US you tend to have, I think, forgive me if I'm wrong and correct me if I am, you tend to have sort of larger country clubs, whereas in the UK, each sort of little village has a club, or each town has a club, and it's quite small and it's quite community based. I don't know if that differs from what you have in the US.
It depends on what part of the US you're in, actually. So. I think we have it's much more individual here, unless a child is playing for his or her school or playing as part of a league. But in terms of individual competition, we don't have anything like the club system in the UK and in Europe. I mean, that system is is so, you know, amazing and provides such opportunities for the players. I wish we had something similar here, but we don't, sadly. One thing I was going to point out is that, you know, that by having the American kids have the chance to play against the UK students this summer, you know, what a cool gift to give all of these kids, because with social media now, you know, the opportunity for them to stay in touch and really hone those relationships is right at their fingertips, literally.
I'm glad you said that, Lisa, because that was one of the long-term goals too, was to eventually even have kids that they met come over here, because we run a summer program here in town for high school students and middle schoolers, and it would be neat to have kids from different parts of the world come over to our high school camps. I mean, we run intense camps. I mean, they're, you know, 40 hours a week. And then we run local tournaments. Like, I run local tournaments, kids would have competition as well. So that was one of the things we were looking at, is trying to build a bridge between both parts of the world and bring everybody together for tennis and social activities as well.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Richard, can you touch on some of the specifics of the school in terms of accommodations, where the kids will be eating, what social opportunities will be there for them, and those types of issues?
Yeah, sure. With regards to where they'll be staying, they'll be staying in a town called Oakham, which is what we call a small market town, approximate population of about 10,000. It's a very well-to-do, relaxed sort of atmosphere that pervades the town. It's beautiful, actually. It's quite green with a park in its center. It has churches, a market square. The old center has cobbles and so on and so forth. So it's very quaint. The school itself, which isn't very normal for an independent school. Quite often an independent school would be in a village or just outside of a town. But we're very lucky in that the campus of Oakham School is actually part of Oakham itself, part of the town. So for us to walk, or for the students to walk to the centre, is literally 2 or 3 minutes. So that's fantastic. The accommodation is what we call a boarding house. Do you know what a boarding house is?
I'm guessing like a dorm.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rick.
So it's like dorms, and the rooms are rooms of mainly two, although there are some rooms of three. And the accommodation is very clean and light. It's not a hotel. It's a school. So you've got a couple of beds, a bed each. You have the normal things that you'd expect, like a wash basin. You'd have a wardrobe and so on and so forth. And the accommodation is along small corridors. So there are usually groups of about five or six rooms, if you want to call them wings. And then there's a common area where there's a music room where people congregate and relax. There's also a large common room where there's a TV, and then there's a big garden that belongs to the boarding house, and a lot of time is spent there doing activities, just relaxing, campfires, table tennis. I think Danny should probably add something here, because he has the American perspective. I don't really know what it is that you're used to, but Danny, would you like to add something?
Yeah, more about the dorms or the actual facilities, Rich?
Well, either or. I mean, as you see,
yeah.
Really.
Lisa, you see that they would have the opportunity, like some of the things the kids wouldn't see that over there that they wouldn't see here. It's like, I mean, they've got cricket fields, we've got rugby fields. I mean, the school is absolutely massive. I mean, the kind of facilities are, they actually hold the, is it the junior national cricket tournament there?
Yeah, they actually held, there was something called the Bunbury Festival, which is independent schools coming together, and a different school gets the honour of hosting the event, but obviously you have to have the right facilities to do that, and they hosted it last year. And also Leicestershire Cricket sometimes play there as well. So the quality of the pitches are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the facilities are first class. I mean, the kids have access to an indoor swimming pool. There's a gymnasium. There's squash courts. The town, like Richard was saying, you know, living in rural Georgia, that, you know, the kids don't have opportunities of just being able to walk to stores. You pretty much have to get in a car to go places. I think that would be one of the most exciting things for the kids, is the fact that they could, during their off time, they could go into town, they can go to coffee shops, they can go to restaurants, and it's all within walking distance.
And
I mean,
safe
you could
as
just,
well.
I'm sorry, Rich? Say that again.
And it's a safe place, isn't it? I mean,
it's a very safe place. Yeah, I mean, it's very safe. I mean, there's the opportunity, you know, that we didn't mention the train station. The train station is like 10 minutes away from the school walking, and there's
access
to London.
It's about 5 minutes, Danny, not even.
Okay, it's about 5 minutes. So they have access to London, Cambridge. I mean, it's a very nicely centrally located place as well. So we're going to be close to a lot of things. And Rich, I was wondering if you could actually, you know, go over some of the cultural trips that the kids would have.
Yeah, sure. Well, we've mentioned London already. There's the Wimbledon Museum. And we talked about the possibility of a West End show, and that's yet to be confirmed. And it would depend on what students wanted to. But what we'd certainly do is we'd probably promote or suggest that students could strongly consider the open bus tour, which would be a tour around the centre of London, so you'd see the main sites. You'd be able to see the things like the Tower of London, you'd be able to see the London Eye, Houses of Parliament, Big Ben, Buckingham Palace. So that would be one thing I think would certainly be worth doing. I think when you visit a city, I think it's always good to get almost like an overview of what's there. So that's one thing that would be worth doing. The other thing I'd like to mention is that before each of the trips, we run workshops. So the educational element is there. So we'd explain what it was that people were going to go and see, and they'd have at least a basic understanding before they visited of the history and what it was they were looking at, and hopefully the significance of what they were looking at, which I think is really important. So that's London. We're going to go to Cambridge as well, which is only about an hour and a quarter from Oakham. And we would visit King's College, which is the most famous college in Cambridge. It has its famous King's College Chapel, where which is famous for its choir. And I believe that the King's College choir broadcast internationally at Christmas. You may even get that in the US, I don't know. But certainly throughout Europe, it's very, very famous. There'll be the opportunity to go on a punt, which is a flat-bottom boat. And Cambridge is just a stunning city. It looks like a movie set, really. It looks like you've gone in a time machine and you've basically gone back 300 or 400 years. It's really a sight to behold. So that's just London and Cambridge, just to name two, and those are definitely on the bill.
Rich, and also we had talked about, Lisa, one of the things because like we said, we were going to tailor it to the kids as they came along. They have the opportunity of going to see a real tennis court.
Yeah.
So they would get, they would have that chance of seeing how the game was actually originally, you know, was originally played. Because I know from my experience as a coach here, when I talk to the kids and I talk to them about real tennis, and then I show them, they're quite amazed. Most people that I've encountered have thought, oh, it was just played on grass, or it was played like they see it today, but they don't realize that that's not how the game was originally played. So that's quite an amazing experience itself, and just to see the scoring system and the different types of equipment they use, it's kind of neat, because they come out and they play with the old uniforms and the long pants and the old wooden rackets and the balls, just like they did in the old days. So I think that's
different, isn't it?
I love that. I hope you guys are going to be taking lots of pictures.
Yeah, we are. I always do.
Yeah, we are.
Can I?
The other thing I thought I'd mention there,
favorite?
Danny, is...
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, can I ask a favor? And if you identify one of the students that would be interested in writing up a little article for Parenting Aces about the experience, I sure would love to publish that.
That would be the least we could do. Absolutely.
I think it would be very
that's
cool.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and we'll put together a little photo slideshow with it. And, you know, especially I'm intrigued now about this original tennis court and the old equipment and the clothing. I'm seeing pictures in my head right now. It sounds amazing.
Have you ever been to one?
No. I've only seen photos. So
it's a pretty it's quite a unique experience. I mean, just seeing pictures and things doesn't do it justice. I mean, I went a few years ago to watch a game, and it was actually quite confusing, but it was just really an interesting experience to see how far the game has
come. Another thing that might be of interest is at our school, they also play a game called Fives. I don't know if you've heard of Fives before.
Have you heard of Fives? I have no idea what it is.
Okay, well, I'm not an expert. I mean, I've seen it played briefly, but it's basically, as I understand, it's one of the precursors of tennis. You know how tennis used to be played with the palm? And how tennis used to be played primarily in monasteries and on the sides of cathedrals. And as a result, the shape of the building, the shape of the cathedral, has like a characteristic sort of buttress. And what we have in our school is a couple of five courts. And they look like squash courts, but there's not four straight walls. They're actually like...
I've seen
sort of
it.
Walls
I
that look like the sides of the cathedral are actually built in, and you have to play against the flat walls, but also the walls that look like the buttresses too, and that they feature, they're part of the game. And if there was interest, and I think there probably would be, one of the masters that coaches this, he said that he would be prepared to come in and to talk to our students and to explain how it was played, and actually get them to have a go as well, which I think would be quite a neat experience.
Definitely, I think that sounds amazing.
Yeah, at least I've lived in the States for 21 years now, and every summer I go back, it's just a completely. I always come back with wealth of new knowledge, and I find it very interesting, and it helps. You know, when I'm developing tennis programs with the kids, because I get to meet a bunch of different tennis players as well. So it's really a cool experience. And like Richard said, I mean, I remember seeing those courts now, Rich. They're on the way to the swimming pool, right?
That's right, yeah, they're on the left. That's it.
Yeah, okay.
But I think that would be really interesting for the kids to see. I think it would be brilliant. And to play
absolutely
it as well would be something that it'd be an opportunity that wouldn't arise every day, I imagine.
Absolutely. No, I think it sounds fantastic. You know, again, any type of cultural exchange can only benefit all of us. You know, the more comfortable our children are being in different parts of the world and being around different cultures and people from different backgrounds, it just makes them better human beings and I think makes the world a better place to live in. So I'm all for it. And I would absolutely be thrilled if one or more of your students would be interested in writing up their experience. I think it would be a cool thing to share on Parenting Aces.
You know, I think that's great. And the other thing is traveling is, as you've mentioned before, I mean, my ears picked up when you mentioned traveling before. And the weird thing is, although our two countries share a common history and share a common language, it's really interesting that when you do actually visit one of the two countries, you think that just because you have the same language, you have the same culture, and actually there are so many little differences. And I think that's fascinating. And I think, you know, you mentioned about us living in a global community and how important it is just not for us to live within our own little community and think that our values are the only values that are there. And then to go to other countries and just to see how things are actually done differently. And quite often when we see things done differently, we even come back with new ideas for ourselves and we learn to be eclectic. And as you say, we learn to grow as people and to become more tolerant. And I think in this day and age, it couldn't be more relevant.
Absolutely agree. And, you know, this is yet one more thing that tennis offers to our children. And I write a lot about the gifts of tennis. And, you know, I've written a gajillion articles about what tennis can give our kids other than, you know, this athletic gift. And this is just a clear example of bringing kids together from different parts of the world who share an interest in a sport and using that interest as a jumping off point to explore all kinds of other things, whether it's other athletic opportunities, educational opportunities, cultural opportunities, or just hanging out and playing Xbox together, frankly. You know, there's benefit to be had.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm thrilled to know that there are people out there like you two that are looking to bridge the gap between kids in different countries and using tennis as kind of that common factor to start the process.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
you, as a coach, I mean, that's our main goal. I mean, the majority of children are not going to go off and be, you know, professional tennis players. And so tennis is, you know, I look at it as the kids go to school and take a subject. You know, tennis is obviously a fun activity, but it's like another subject in itself because it's just a vehicle to creating an athlete to be a better person. And that's our main focus of the program. And also as a teacher, I mean, that's just what we try to do. And when I talked to Richard and I also talked to Coach Vonk about this, that was what we were planning on doing, is how can we, again, make the kids more educated and better tennis players at the same time.
Daniel, can you...
And I think, you know, it's enriching.
Go ahead, Richard.
Sorry, I cut you off there by accident.
No, go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, I was going to say that I think, you know, the whole experience is enriching, going to another country, sharing tennis as having tennis as your commonality. But then when you meet people from other cultures and you come together, well, you know, the hope is that friendships will be fostered and that people will stay in contact. And, you know, hopefully friendships will be forged that will continue in years to come. And those friendships can only but benefit both parties. And as you said, it's just part of life and part of learning. And I think that's one of the wonderful things of traveling and obviously of education, because when you go to a new country, you can't help but learn new things about another place. And then there's tennis, of course, which is a wonderful game. I played nationally myself. And I think it's so important for students to realize that it's important to do the best that they possibly can at something. And in order to try and foster excellence, if that's what they want to do and they want to excel at something, I think we all, as human beings, have to understand that no one gets good at anything, no one becomes an expert at anything without putting that work in. And that's a life lesson that's transferable. It basically holds true for everything that we do. And, you know, we try and do that in education. Danny does that with his tennis. And I think that, you know, even if we go some way to reaching that goal, that's got to be a wonderful gift in itself.
Right. So I was going to ask Daniel if you could share the contact information or website or how families can get in touch with you to register their child.
Yeah, my phone number is, so I say the phone number, I don't mind saying it, but so it's 912-674-0970, and I am based in St. Mary's, Georgia. And my email is dbreag, B-R-E-A-G, tennis, at tds.net. And, Rich, if you could give the website that they could go to look at the college as well.
Yeah, sure. The website address is www.key-college.com. What's currently up there is in French and Italian. We are shortly going to upload a program in English, so there'll be something in English for our English speaking students to read. There's also a PDF that we can send in the meantime, but if you go to the website, there are contact details, and you're able to contact us via email, and we can get whatever details you would like to you in the shape of a brochure or anything else.
Yeah, and Lisa, I have all that for the if they want to see the program of tennis and the excursions that the kids would take. I have all that on file as well that I can send out to parents. And I don't know if you could even put that on your website.
Sure, I can definitely. I'll upload it along with the podcast this week so that parents that are interested in taking a closer look will have the links right at their fingertips.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So do you have a deadline for signing up and payment options? I mean, I really would like to share as many details as possible so that...
Absolutely. Rich, you want to...
Yeah,
Rich,
go ahead.
That section?
Okay. Basically, the situation is this. We've committed to... We've committed to this year, so you know we're really looking forward to welcoming some US students for tennis. We currently have 6 places available, and with regards to payment, what we're looking for is realistically a guarantee or a payment, a deposit needs to be made by the end of April to secure a place. And then the rest of the payment comes afterwards, but deposits by the end of April, ideally.
And then terms of travel, will they be traveling with you, Daniel, from South Georgia, or how would that work?
Well, that would be something I could talk to each group what I'd ideally, if we could all meet at one location and go over together. However, it might not work depending on where people come from different parts. If they're coming with their parents, like I said, I have parents that are committed to coming next year, and they're gonna come with their kids. But obviously, you can't have a minor travel by themselves. So that would be something I would discuss with each group, or each person that signs up.
Got it.
We also have the possibility of sending an adult to the airport with a taxi, waiting with a sign, and actually picking
yeah.
up the students as they come through. So we can assure their safety that way.
Okay, terrific. And I would say to any of the parents listening, if you are considering doing this trip or sending your child on this trip, I did a ton of research when my son went to train in Spain on things like insurance and cell phones and how to handle money and all of those things, because I was one of those parents, Daniel, who sent my minor by himself across the ocean.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
So it can be done, but
yeah,
it is a little
scary. I mean, I traveled on my own too. I just didn't know how parents would feel about that. But
well, we did it for years, didn't we, Danny?
Yeah, we did it we've done it for years. But like we were saying, you know, as far as the phones, I mean, every year I just basically go to the local store and you can buy a cell phone for cheap, £10, $15, and they can use that. There's actually phones in the school itself, so parents could call, you know, the phone lines in the school. We didn't talk about the accommodation. The accommodation is at night, the doors are locked. It's like a locking system, so there's no way they can get out of the building, and there's no way anyone can get in other than an adult that has a special code.
And obviously, but you can get out in an emergency, obviously.
Yeah, it's an emergency, but
yeah,
they're monitored. The gates are closed at night. And like Richard said, there'll be someone at the airport to pick them up. And I guess one of the things is people, would you like us to discuss cost, or is that something
sure.
you'd rather we talk to? The cost of the trip is $3,500 for the 2 weeks, plus the cost of the flight. So the flight from Georgia, because I'm just going from the East Coast, is between $1,300 and $1,600, depending on who you go through. But the kids would have all their food covered. We didn't talk about the food either, did we, Rich?
No, we didn't, actually, no.
No, the food Lisa, is... Yeah, and the food is not your typical school lunch and school breakfast and school dinner. I mean, the food is five-star food. I mean, it's top of the line. But you could probably talk more about the food yourself.
Yeah, basically, there's buffet lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. For a school, the food is amazing, and we're not talking about, it's not a restaurant, it's not a hotel, but the food is good. There's a wide variety. If anyone has any special dietary requirements, they just need to let us know in advance. Typically, there's vegetarian dishes, there's pasta, there are meat dishes. The school is used to catering for people of many different nationalities, so the cuisine is wide and varied. And nutrition-wise, it's balanced. It has to be. And you just eat very well, very healthily, and there's a wide variety of choice, and you can choose what it is you would like to eat. The salad, there's pasta bar, there's meat, there's hot veg, there's pretty much everything you could wish for, really. So and the dining hall is relaxed. It's quite a large dining hall, but it's very relaxed, and there's plenty of space for everyone, and it's a good environment and a good place to be and a good place to eat, actually.
Yeah, and
in fact, when we have people visiting our school, that they always say that they cannot believe the quality of the food for a school. We're very lucky.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, included in that cost, you know, the only thing that the children would need to bring is if they went into town and wanted to go to a coffee shop or buy, you know, souvenirs or T-shirts or something like that. So in that cost, the 2 weeks is all meals, room, board, and travel is all included.
And the excursions as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, in the UK.
Yeah, and the excursions as well are included.
Okay. And
if,
right, if a family wanted to extend the trip, is that a possibility that they could work out with you?
That's something that we could, that I haven't actually considered, but that's something that we could look at. I would say, as I'm standing here now, the possibility of that is 99% yes, but it would have to be subject to my being able to confirm that officially. It depends whether or not they wanted to continue staying at the school or if they would like some assistance to stay, let's say if they were staying for an extra week, whether or not they wanted to stay somewhere else, and we could help set up accommodation either at the school or somewhere else. So almost certainly yes, but we'd have to look into it and confirm it.
Okay.
Right.
Great.
Sorry, can I add one thing too? One thing we didn't talk about is, let's say in the afternoons, you know, we have different sports sections, and I would, myself and another PE teacher, we would be offering other sporting activities. So they would learn different sports as well. So it wouldn't, you know, they would have opportunities if they wished to be learning the sport of cricket or rugby or something of that nature.
I guess rounders as well might be interesting.
Rounders, yeah. So there's
five.
Yeah, so there were just many other opportunities that the kids would learn as well. So they're learning new games.
And I wanted to
clarify.
And
the other thing that we didn't mention, actually.
Richard, one second. I was just going to clarify. Is the trip is open to boys and girls, or are you just looking to take
yes.
boys?
No, it's open to boys and girls. Yeah.
No, it's mixed.
Yeah.
Okay, Richard, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to pick up on your point there, boys and girls are accommodated separately. There's a separate boys corridor and a separate girls corridor, and there'll be an adult on each corridor to make sure that students can refer to, just to make sure everything's okay. I've actually forgotten the point that I was going to make beforehand, but yeah, because I just picked up on what you said. But yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that feeling. I'm
oh,
sorry.
Yes. Actually, there was one thing I wanted to pick up on. Lisa, earlier on, you mentioned, you know, the possibility of tournaments and how this year, with the 2 weeks, we weren't going to be able to make that happen, tournaments. We might get matches between students from the local clubs. However, looking into the future, I think realistically, it might be an idea for the future, and this is just an idea for the future, that the 2 weeks are spent at the school, but the third, we could actually add in the future a third week, which actually could be a tournament week, which might be an interesting thing for the future. What do you think, Daniel?
No, I think it's an absolutely brilliant idea, and that would be a definite...
I think you need the 2 weeks to acclimatise, don't you, really, first, and then sort of the third week sort of striking out, that might be a nice addition, and that could be something that we look to in the future.
Fantastic. Well, guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your fantastic trip with us. And to my listeners, I encourage you to go to the website. As I mentioned, I'll have the links that Daniel mentioned on the podcast page later today. That's at parentingaces.com/radio-show. And you'll be able to listen to the podcast as well as click on the link. The PDF and the other information. And best of luck to you guys. And I'm serious about having one of the kids or more of the kids experience for publication. So I hope you'll take me up on that one.
No, yeah, that's a great idea. And thank you so much for having us.
Have a great week, everybody, and hope to see you all at the Easter Bowl next week. Until then, hope you have a great week on the court. Take care.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Bye-bye.